Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Sit, but don't sit on your mouth. Because I will need your mouth to talk to me. There are services where it's not just the preacher. We are going to do it together. Oh, say amen. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 9. Now, therefore, behold the cry of the children of Israel has come unto me, and I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Say now. When they cried, they didn't know God heard. They thought they were just crying in their room. They thought they were just weeping in their secret place. But God heard. God, the most misunderstood person, the creator of the world, yet unknown and unrecognizable by his own creation. It seems to me that even the ants do know him better. But you see, there is a God that is not far away from the house of the widow. He's not far away from the house of the homeless. He's not far from the house of the needy. And he's not far from those who weep. It's not far. Your crying is not always a sign of faithlessness. It may be a cry for help. He said, now the cry of the children of Israel has come upon me. There are types of prayers that are called cries. You come into the place of prayer and all you can do is shed tears. Because if you try to tell people what you are dealing with, they can't handle it. They tell you they can't handle it, but when you tell them, they just tell you it is well. Because they can't deal. You need to learn that prayer posture. The prayer posture where you get into your room and you shut the door and all you do is weep. He said, the cry of the children have come unto me, and because of that, I have seen. Are you telling me God didn't know before? Are you telling me God didn't know? He knows all things. But a closed mouth is a closed destiny. Sometimes you cry, but you didn't cry enough. Oh, glory. Sometimes you cry, but you don't cry enough. You need to cry. You need to shout. You need to give that sense of desperation. You need to give that sense of desperation. If you don't help me, where else shall I go? Do you know why many cannot cry? Many times, it's spiritual pride. You believe you know so much about the Bible, and it will be talking down on your spirituality if you cry. When Jesus was on his way to Calvary, he wept. On that cross, he wasn't smiling. He wasn't taking a cup of tea. He wasn't taking his last cappuccino before dying. He was weeping. He was weeping for a generation he gave his life for, who up to that time did not even understand. They wanted him dead. The people he was dying for actually wanted him dead. In the midst of that whole experience, there was just one man, because Peter had disappeared. There was just one man who only had a few minutes with Jesus. It was the man on the other side of the cross. And the man understood. Doesn't it amaze you sometimes how you put so much effort into winning the affection of someone, the affection and appreciation of someone, and the person just looks the other way, and then you just come to this other space, and somebody who is not even trying, the person just gets you. person gets you, one of the things that make people understand you, even when you don't say so much words, is that many of them have been where you are. They know that your makeup is just a deliberate attempt to put up a facade. They know all is not well. They know that the bags underneath your eyes are not prayer vigils, are not the results of prayer vigils. Those bags underneath your eyes are as a result of continuous weeping. And today, God sent me to tell somebody, your cries have come up to me, and I have seen the oppressions of the enemy. I have seen the oppression of the Egyptians. I have seen. I am aware. When God zooms in on you, you may just be right here, and the only thing you have in your pocket is your transport fare to go back. God said, I have seen your cries. You don't want people to know, so that people will not pity you. Say, but I have seen your cries. I know you are crying. You've cried so much you forgot that you are always crying. Come on, say, Lord, hear my cry. Say, come on, say, Lord, hear my cry. Now say it with faith, Lord, hear my cries. He said, the cries of the children of Israel have come unto me, and I have seen the oppression. God says those tears are not ordinary. They are the byproduct of oppression. The things that are happening in your life that you have no explanation for, they are the result of oppression. While men slept, the enemy came and sowed tears. It was in the night seasons that the enemy came and began to do some calculations. And you woke up in the morning and you looked at the table and everything was telling you error. Error, 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 error. Who would have said to Joseph that the ones who would give him up would be his own brothers? And who would have told Joseph that the one who would lift him up would be a total stranger? Today, the Egyptians that you see, the Egyptians that have stayed in your home, they have stayed in your life, they have stayed in your space, they have become familiar brethren. Today, you will see them no more. There is a prophetic attitude of crying. There is a prophetic posture of weeping. When you are desperate, it is like the cry of a woman that is about to bring forth. It is not the cry or the scream of when your football club scores the only goal. It is not the scream of joy. It is the scream to bring forth. It is the scream for emancipation. It is the scream for liberation. When a man is so gifted, when a lady is so beautiful, and every time you keep attracting the wrong people, people use you and then dump you. People just look at you and say, look, you are not good enough for what we need, but we can use you in the interim. When you have a first class or a 2-1 and they give you a job, and the best price they ever gave you was 35,982 naira 99 kobo, they even refuse to round up the figure. They left it at 99 kobo. You know what it means when somebody labors, raises a child, and the final year something happens to that child and that child dies. I remember when I was on campus with my friend Pastor Desmond. They had gone to Ilorin for a particular meeting. It was a concert or worship meeting. And in that, can you hear me clearly at the back? They were just, you know, in those days, it used to be popular to have like worship teams, praise teams. You go from campus to campus, and there was this team, and they invited Pastor Desmond to come along. And in the hotel where they lodge, one of the brothers that came with them decided to go for a swim in the night. There was a swimming pool in the hotel. It was not a river, it was a swimming pool. And he went into the swimming pool and didn't come out. My brother, when the enemy is coming after you, A swimming pool can be deeper than a river. It's a swimming pool. The brother is tall. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's even the learning swimming pool. It's not Lagos. It's not a standard swimming pool. It's a learning swimming pool. How deep can it be? But when there is a verdict of oppression against a man's life, you will have all the facts, my brother. You will have all the anointing, and the anointing will not answer because of the voice of oppression. My friend got there, called Pastor Desmond, and my Pastor Desmond, heavily agile and on top of the game, he came out and grabbed him, and he shook the brother and laid hands on him and spoke life, and the brother died the more. And I remember saying, Pastor Desmond, you got to do something. You got to do something. It was then they realized he was the only pastor amongst them. They brought him to preach at a concert, but you're recruiting me to raise the dead. How much are you paying? You brought me here to sing. Now you want me to raise the dead. The voice of oppression can make a man incapacitated. When the enemy comes, a river can be deep. A swimming pool can be deeper than a river. The brother, very top brother, went in and didn't come out. Question, how do we break the news to the family? They had to take the body all the way back to the state, to Ondo State. Got to the house, only to learn that boy was the only child. I override every verdict of death. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, every verdict of death over you, over your children, over your husband, over your wife, in the name of Jesus, it shall not stand. Now declare it shall not stand. Declare it shall not stand. Declare it shall not stand. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of the Lamb, we override every cry, every attempt from the pit of hell. In the name of Jesus. He was an only child. My friend didn't get over it for a long time. It was not a church member. But when you have been close to a particular situation, you know. Do you know that, maybe I've never told you, one of my concerns with getting married, I like to manage my crisis. If I had my choice, I would not marry. That pain of having to lose a child, I am not sure I can bear it. I don't want to be tempted with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? No matter the age, that child is still your boy. Then you start having flashbacks. Those days you were on the three-seater and your baby came and held you. You start remembering things and people come and say, it is well. You shut up. Will you shut up? It's not Facebook greeting. We are talking about real pain here. When God asked me to be a pastor, that was one of my issues again. Because if you're a pastor, one day if Jesus tarries, Bara, you will have gray hair. One day, no, I can't do this work. Let me know I am dealing with myself. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me know. You people will not tell you things. They'll just tell you, no, I just don't want to marry. I just want to marry. Huh? People don't tell you their real reason for doing anything. It was a private and secret fear that I had. So I could relate. When Pastor Desmond came back and I said, how was the meeting? There were no phones in those days. So he had to break it himself. Having to go, he was the guest minister, but he had to go with them to the house of the boy that died. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not his business, it's the guest minister. But the boys who are organizing the concert, we are confused. The person who organized it, why did I organize this concert? Do you know all the kind of things going through their mind? Hey, blood is on my hand. You know, Pastor Desmond said, even he himself had collapsed. But had, you know, because he's muscular, he had to be strong. So don't worry, let's go, let's go. So they push him to the front. The general himself. You will not weep this year. The devil will not write the last chapter of your life. You will fulfill God's plan for your life in health. Listen to me, a sick person can't do God's work. The devil will keep holding you there. The day you are supposed to fast, you can't fast. God said, my son, wake up, meet me by 12 a.m. You can't wake up. There's a way you have this kind of malaria. You'll be sleeping very deeply. You may not know that type of malaria. I went to the hospital with my sister-in-law who was pregnant, and I didn't know she was pregnant. You know, you don't know things. It's only what they tell you. And I don't ask. I don't look. I don't check. I saw a lady last week or a few weeks ago. She just had a baby. And I saw her when I traveled out of Lagos for a meeting. And we even came back together. I didn't see her after a while. I mean, it's not my business. I saw her with a baby. How are you? Is this your son? He said, no, this and that one. I said, are you pregnant? He said, yeah. Just I didn't tell you. It's not my business. It's not my business. I'm not paying the bills. I'm not paying the bills. You can keep the story or the testimony to yourself. Whichever day. If the thing dead there, after 9 months, we'll go no. Where did he born, no? Na child. How is that your business? Is that going to change anything? Na boy, na girl, boy, girl. What's your problem? Some of you are even, some people don't even say, wait till you're born. Is that supposed to change? In the 21st century, you want to know that it's a boy, Abby? I got into the hospital with my sister in the ICU, and I shared that story before, and they brought a young boy of about 6 years, gasping for breath. And I shared that story here before. And I saw the mother of that boy. You know, they look like very local people, you know, Yoruba people. Because I traveled to the village, to my place. And they were she was rolling on the floor. I saw her husband, someone like Ose, like Ose's height. The guy just stood, but you could know the guy was lost. He was already seeing the possible, but he just... And I was in the intensive care ward or unit with my sister, and they brought in this boy. That may not be strong enough, but it's enough cry for God. Because sometimes you are so much pant, you have so much, you've screamed, you've lost your voice, you don't have any more strength. So all you've got. And God said, I heard that one. I heard that one. The boy was gasping. The mother was rolling on the floor. Apparently, they had gone to a private hospital, and those ones were collecting money. Please, can I just... I'm not a doctor, but if you take someone to the hospital, let somebody stay with them. Some of those guys are crazy. I broke somebody's word now. Some of those guys in those hospitals, they are crazy. Don't leave your child and go home and say it's on admission. They will not give the... Oh. That boy, that young boy was in the hospital. Have you ever dealt with wrong diagnosis before? Have you heard of it before? I was listening to them. They gave somebody hypertension drug for 6 years. There was nothing wrong with him. All he did was change hospital, sir. Who gave you this? The doctor shook his head. Let me check your blood pressure. Sir, what's the... You are shaking your head. He said nothing. Oga, tell me. Say you don't have this thing. And he has been going to that same hospital for 6 years. And my mother gave me that same medicine. See prescription. Just to make money. That's why the reasonable ones are leaving. Anyone that you see has not left. Do you understand? He's going. He has not left. So all our babalawos and abalis should get ready. There's going to be market very soon. Because all the doctors are leaving. Give us agbo. Don't go yaro. And mix it well. Mix it well with 7-Up. Or dry gin. For those of you who have not been delivered from drinking, we will give you dry gin with schnapp. Be drinking. Since you love drinking, drink away. Drink away your sorrow. This trouble feel away. There's one song like that. You drink. That's that green. I watched the doctors come around this boy and they were testing him. And because I was tall, I could see above their heads. And they were looking at themselves. The mother couldn't see them. And then the doctor, out of frustration, trying to restart that boy's heart, gave up. Threw his stethoscope on the floor and walked out. The moment the mother saw that, she lost it. And I looked at the boy. He was just staring at the wall. Like somebody lost in thoughts. But he was gone. Because at that point, I started weeping. When I ask you to cry, you can only cry to the degree to which you understand what is going on in your life. There's a level where you get to. You don't care who is standing beside you. You don't care. If you have a son, or a daughter, sometimes in the night, around 11, they will come and tell you something's wrong with them. Ah, at this time, God forbid, but you okay, don't worry. You get there. In the night, oh, in the night, when you can't go out again, all your 6 neighbors have blocked your car. And there's one of them, when he snores, they're here in the next compound. That one will not even wake up. Come on, am I talking to somebody now? A few days ago, we were about to go to bed. And I was in a meeting online, late in the night. And my wife came and said, look at your son. So I was saying something. I had to say, guys, hold on. Pause. You know, went offline. And I looked into his nostrils. Completely blocked. There was a growth inside. And I asked him, when did it start? He said, it just started. This is a growth. You can't even see inside the nostrils anymore. One complete section gone. My wife panicked. I panicked. But I must not show it. It's called coded panic. Because I remembered that I've not prayed well today. So, you know, how many of you can relate with what I'm saying? You find yourself so in that say, Satan get power, you know, get salvation. Now, because I no pray well today, oh. You know, the devil is a liar. It's only the devil that reminds you didn't pray. How did you know I didn't pray? Why are you on my matter? Can't you go to China? So I looked at him. Joshua, come. So I just, you know, with some braggadocious faith that only God knows if it was there. You know, sometimes you are not sure if you actually had that faith. So I held him close to me like this. He was already sleeping, though, but he couldn't breathe well. Because there are some seasons your words can't actually define or describe your matter. I wasn't trying to be in the spirit. I was just surrendering to God. This one is not anointing. It is surrender. I don't know what to do. This is 11 p.m. But if you can help me, I will really appreciate it. It's not takatabadabadaba. No. No. Because some of you don't know this and that level of faith. Then I tapped him. And he opened his eyes. Then I held him again. Then that was when I started praying. And I said, Jesus, take away the pain. Take away that growth. I don't know what this thing is. I spent so much money on my car recently. I can't go to the hospital. Please, fix this one. Some of you are you speak Queen's English. May I talk to God the way I understand? Or say, no, I spend money on my car. I don't have any. And after that prayer, so I asked him, do you feel any pain? And then he touched it. He says, not so much. I said, great. Jesus has healed you. Huh? He has healed you. He has healed you. Sometimes you say to yourself, more than you are saying it to the person, Jesus has healed you. You try to convince. Who can relate to what I'm talking about here? Because some of you try to act like you got your walked out of. When he was on the cross, even Baba spoke. He said, Father, is it like you have. I'm here. Oh. This pain is much. Oh. We discussed this thing. You didn't talk about the pain. And when we woke up in the morning, then I asked, we checked. Thank you. Your cry is not always when you shout. It is when you have a cry in your spirit. When there's something shouting and begging for a change. When there's something begging for a change. When there's something that says, I can't move anymore. Except you do something. And today, give me the next verse and I will rise on your feet to pray with that. Come now, therefore, Moses, and I will send you to the problem. If you are there and you've got something you are dealing with, stretch your hands to this altar with faith. Stretch your hands to this altar with faith. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is here tonight, is here this morning. And in the name of Jesus, stretch your hands with faith. Kapure kapata ina kasaya. Lord, behold his hand. You say, come, that I may send thee to Pharaoh. And this morning, you have sent me to your people. Oh, barakatale baduko. He said, come, that I may send to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So today, we want to bring people out of bondage. Come and say a loud amen. Amen. In the name of Jesus, whatever has plagued your body, today marks the end in the name of Jesus. Amen. Whatever has resisted prayers,